Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Oh my God, it's episode 20 of Please Advise.
Yay!
Woo. Our guest today is like one of my fave people. I've known him for a while. Like, I can't believe, like, it's actually sad to me thinking about my listeners out there in a world where they don't know this person. I'm like, I started to get sad for a minute when I was like thinking of how to introduce you. He's a writer. He's a director. He's like a big brother to me. It's Eric Amadio. Hey.
Hi, guys. What's up, Miles?
Nothing. But you should know that this is like a good episode for you because it like Halloween will have just happened, I think.
All right.
Yeah, when people are listening to this.
It's a good episode just because I'm hanging out with you.
So. Oh, see, he always does stuff like that.
That's true. This is a cool excuse to hang out.
It is. Yeah. And we should, we're always, Eric and I get so busy and then we don't see each other and then we always just like reconnect and have a fun time.
Well, yeah. It's nice when you have those friends where you can go a long period of time without seeing them and then you see them and you pick right back up.
Yeah.
It's definitely like that with
Steve,
us. So.
Yeah. No, I know.
And my family loves you.
Oh my God. I love your family too.
All my friends
too.
Love you.
Wait, speaking of your fam.
Speaking of my fam.
I can only imagine that your mom like put you when you were younger in some like ridiculous Halloween costumes.
Let me think about that. No, you know what? No, they were always really good about letting me be whatever I wanted to be.
Okay.
I had a sick Jedi outfit one year, like next level.
Okay.
Look like a fucking
I can see
Jedi.
That.
That was pretty sick.
Yeah.
My memory shot. I don't know how that could be, but something probably happened along the way where I just lost a lot of my short-term memory.
That seems like a very good childhood, man. I'm excited for you.
Yeah,
that it's like, because I don't know, a lot of people are like traumatized by something they had to be as a kid.
I do have a good story about a friend, though. He's this like really tall, skinny, like Russian kid who moved here like in the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And like grew up in New York. And his first American Halloween, he wanted nothing more than to be Lando Calrissian.
Who's that?
The Billy Dee Williams in Star Wars. The only black man in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And my friend's poor mom had to explain to him why he couldn't be Lando Calrissian. And he was like, fuck that. I'm still going to be Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
And he went as Lando. He was a Russian Lando Calrissian.
He didn't do blackface, though.
No.
Right? Okay.
He just, no, that would have been some next level
I
shit.
Did have a friend who went out blackface.
It's an aggressive move.
Yeah. She didn't, like, know, though. She, like, would love Michael Jordan.
She didn't know.
No, she was, like, eight. And she she like loved eight. Michael Jordan.
Her parents should have said something.
And her parents like put her in a bald cap and spread paint all over it. And then like
life decisions
all over her whole face and her hands. And like, but and she said that they weren't didn't make a big deal of it because her grandfather died. Her grandfather had just died.
So she had like a past to be so like crazy had- racist. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I know. I love it. She called herself the Michael Jordan of the Valley. I should reconnect with her.
Like
her. She's,
I don't know her, but I kind of like her. Just,
I think you do know her.
Who?
She's on one. I'll tell you later. Okay. But like that,
I do know her.
I think so. But the reason why we liked her, I just want to say her name and incriminate her.
Yeah, fair enough.
As she was right. Very racist one Halloween. But yeah. She's on one. Like,
but that was also at 8, right? You said she was 8. So can kids
be
super...
Yeah, I think she was like 30 when I was 20.
Was it a conscious like act of bigotry? Or was
no,
just,
that's
no,
the best
she,
part
that's
of
what
it.
I'm saying. So yeah. It's like you can't really like hold the kid to it.
But that chick from Dancing with the Stars, like I think that's...
Well, that's a grown-up, yeah.
They like, I mean... None of her friends said anything to her. That's
just bad friends.
That's why it would have to. Like, she went as close to crazy eyes as she could.
Yeah, it's a
but
bold
there was
move.
Like, it's like, yeah.
It's really bold.
Also, just go as like a white version of that. Like, black kids have to go to like.
There are so many other white characters on that show.
Well, it's just so hard to like. To kind of get in your head how these people, like, how it didn't run through their head at least a little bit. Like, this is maybe not be the best idea.
I think they were, like trying to set her up.
Really?
Yeah, I think that it was the publicity
It's a conspiracy.
I
love it.
Yeah, I think that other people and blogs and stuff might have come to that, and I read it, and I felt very strongly about it.
Fair enough. Yeah, fucking Halloween costumes.
Yeah,
it gets political.
So please like send us like just like some, you know, trauma-rama moments that you had on Halloween, if you had them. Like, it's just a big night. Like, I had to be Amy Winehouse one year and I like got all like drunk before I put my costume together. And I just did the mole on the wrong side. And for the hair, I just got a black loofah. And covered it in my own hair. And then I also wore these like 6-inch heels. And I can't walk in heels. I don't know why I thought I was going to get away with that on Halloween, like the busiest night in forever. We went to like opera or something. That was like a place then. And
opera. I do remember that.
Yeah. I remember opera those days. What's that street?
Was it Vine and Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah, it was like around that. We met at a club too.
We met at that horrible. Oh, I shouldn't say that, but at that place.
Yeah.
Across from
Teddy's. Can I say what it is?
Yeah.
Because like I that's
the
why
name
it was
of it,
so
to be
exciting
honest.
To me. Okay, so it's called H Wood.
That's what it was called, and yeah. I just didn't like it because it was so cold and like concrete.
I like knew nothing about clubs because I just like knew that wasn't going to ever be my scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised. I remember being amazed and I might have been on ecstasy because
nice.
These were the days that I had a night job and I would like take my lunch, quote unquote, at like 11 p.m. and go out like clubbing with Steven for like an hour.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I used to do that.
That's funny.
I'm fun.
You are super fun.
It sounds lame to me when I say it out loud now. But then we were like, yeah, I was like at H-Wood for like 5 minutes. I was like super amazed by how like fancy it was. Because
right.
I pictured like clubs as like the ones they sneak into on Teen Mom or whatever. Like just like trash.
Right.
And then you were like, hey.
Yeah, I was like, I know you.
And I was like.
You're Malls from Defamer.
And I was like. Doing this thing where I was like secretly like I was like nervous. I was like, what are you gonna say to me? I'm like, I had like
no, I totally like fanboyed on her. Like seriously.
I fangirled on you though after, like now to this day, I'm just like
that
was like, a great friendship. Dude, that's so weird we met at H-Wood.
Well, no, it was fun. I remember that I was with I was with Davey.
Yeah.
Right? I was with Davey and walking through the place And I had just, like, over the last few months, like, been watching her videos on Defamer. I just thought she was fucking hilarious. She's like one of those people, when I watch her, I was like, I want this person to be my friend. She's fucking awesome.
And you manifested that.
I did. Well, I saw you, and my first instinct was like, I felt so familiar with you because I've seen so many of your videos, that I was like, yo, what up? Like, I'm Eric. And then didn't we leave there and we went over to Teddy's?
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we started chatting.
I'm trying to figure out how, like, when was the first time we, like, hung out? And I think.
I don't know.
I have no memory.
This was a long time ago now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I would just guess.
But, yeah, I totally fanboyed on her. Like, that's how we met.
So, like, you see, like, here at Please Advise, we're not here to, like, oh, like, you know, we got, like, Danny Bonaduce or, like some, like, fucking, like, we don't have, like.
Actually, I am Danny Bonaduce.
Yeah, you are. Or, like, you know, like, Urkel is on the podcast today. Like, we like to keep it homey and real.
Jaleel's the homie, by the way. Jaleel's amazing.
He was just on Drunk History. Yeah, everyone's he's fucking the nicest.
He is literally the nicest human being on the planet. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I played basketball against Jaleel in high school.
Oh, my God.
And
no way.
Didn't meet him until later in life. But I remember we showed up early for a tournament. And I look on the court. I was like, that's fucking Urkel. It's like, Urkel's playing against us.
Yeah.
And at first, everyone's like, Urkel, Urkel, Urkel. And then he was fucking good. And then everyone shut the fuck up about the Urkel shit.
Well, Urkel was a talented basketball player.
Then he was like,
player,
oh, his name's Jaleel. But then met him later in life, and he's like the sweetest, like, kindest guy on the planet. He's fucking awesome. You'd love him.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that chapter of my life.
I'll bring him to this motherfucker.
Okay.
He'd be a great guest, actually.
Okay. So we can, well, now that we have a connection, I have to be familial with Jaleel.
100%.
He's part of my life.
He is now.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for what we come up with today, right? And these are people who called in to 323-450-7408. That's our number where you just, like, call in and leave a message and, like, don't be such a pussy and do that hang up thing. Like, you know what it is. Just, like, admit what I want to tell. It's like, I want to ask a question, but I'm scared. Just tell me that. You don't have to do it. Just, like, a hang up. I don't listen to the messages but I know Christina Lopez is over here dealing probably a lot of your hang up bullshit.
Christina's on top of her shit.
Yeah, no, that's why, I mean, like, I was just saying early, game. Like, this podcast would have happened 3 times if it wasn't for Christina Lopez. Yeah, like,
producer game on point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
100%. Thank you.
About it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Makes all of our lives much better.
Okay, so also I've been eating grapes throughout all of this intro, so if you're like, what is that weird wet noise? It's me chewing while I'm talking on my podcast.
She can do what she wants.
Yeah, I can do what I want. Do you want to take calls?
Let's do this.
Yeah, let's take calls. First call.
Hey, Malls, this is Marta. I just woke up from a wine nap, so if I sound a little out of it or my voice is messed up, that's why. I am calling on behalf of my boyfriend who has an issue with his mother. It affects me too. She's kind of like a helicopter mom, and she really just doesn't seem to want him to grow up. At least that's my perspective on it. The way that he puts it is that she, like, goes back and forth between being overbearing and, like, overcaring, and then, like, caring for show, as he calls it. And she, like, I wouldn't say that she's, like, a really, like, cookie-cutter type of person in her views on everything, but she definitely has some really interesting views on people's career paths, in that she would rather have my boyfriend work at, like, a stiff job that would make him miserable and make him money than encourage him to actually take risks and work towards a path that would make him happy in life. She doesn't believe that you can be happy and successful, which he and I just think is absolutely absurd. And that's about it. So if you have any tips or nuggets of wisdom for him to point him in the right direction and try and help him deal with breaking the cycle with her. We'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Eric and I both have very strong views on this, and I don't think they're the same. So, like, things might
They might complement each other, actually.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But they're just from different perspectives.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's like chicken. It's like advice chicken, basically. Yeah. We're playing. So, we were talking before the... What is it called? Before the tape started rolling.
Yeah.
We already started because we were really excited about this call. But and Molly had said, you know, it's obvious that it's okay for me to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had said that it's obvious that the mom doesn't like this girl. And I said, my instinct's that this has nothing to do with the mom.
Right.
And I mean, and I don't take this the wrong way, but the fact that his girlfriend's calling mm-hmm. on his behalf says something about where that dude's in his life right now.
Yeah.
Like, all due respect. But that, I think, runs parallel to the type of person that would allow their mom that much control over their kind of, like, you know, direction.
Well, he likes his mom leading his life.
Like, well, of course.
Like, that's something he, like, gets off on and that this girl doesn't get. Like, because realistically, it is just easier to have someone to tell you what to do for a really long time.
Well, yeah. That's why I was also curious, like, what their age was. Because, like, if it's, like, 18, 19, I understand this a little more.
Yeah.
But if this is, like, 24, 25, it's like, bro, you got to cut the cord.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I came – you know my mom. My mom is – she's incredible. I love her to death. There's nothing I would do for her. She was very overbearing. I was this only child. Mm-hmm. She lost a kid after me and then couldn't have kids anymore. So I was it. And she was operating from this constant fear of losing me, right? And at a, you know, same old childhood as everyone else, you know, kids fight with their parents. But as I got older, like when I first moved away to college, I realized like I had to take ownership of like the ability my mom had to kind of basically wield guilt like a weapon in order to control me.
Yeah.
And when I heard on the call how she was saying sometimes she's like super overbearing and controlling, and sometimes she's like caring for show. Like what we're really talking about here, and obviously I'm on the outside looking in from a phone call, so I can't go into like, you know, specific details, but it sounds like to me what we're dealing with is a mom who doesn't want to lose her son, a son who's very comfortable allowing the mom to kind of run with the ball because so far he's doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, and that's the biggest part of becoming a man,
is
taking ownership over your own emotional state, taking ownership over how you allow other people to affect you.
Definitely.
And I remember like my first trip home from college, I'll never forget. My mom, God bless her, was like so pissed that I went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like she was not having it. We didn't get along good in like my early 20s, and then we're best friends now, but she always kind of resented the fact that I left. Mm-hmm. And when I came back the first time, she was like she had basically tried to pick a fight.
Yeah.
And even 6 months ago it would have worked.
Yeah.
But suddenly I was aware of like my triggers,
yeah,
and what she was doing, because mm-hmm. I had time to be away from it for a while, and I just very bluntly said, Mom, we've been in an unhealthy cycle for years. Like, I'm not going to do this anymore. You can be mad at me.
Boundaries.
You
can do
it. It's like, this is what it is. I'm a man now.
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, it was like a switch went off. Since then, like, you see how we are together.
Yeah.
Like, my mom's like one of my best friends, and she's fucking awesome. And she knows how to, she understands boundaries. She knows, like, I'll let her know what she needs to know. But, and, you know, at the same time, she wasn't always like that. So. Yeah. It's so easy to think like parents have it all figured out, because we grow up thinking they're kind of our moral compass, and oh yeah, mom and dad know what's up. They're learning just as much as us.
That's
and
so weird when you finally get there.
Yeah.
Like are the age that your parents were when they like
100%.
Had you? Like it's like, whoa.
And you see like the mom, there's a 1% chance that she's coming from a malicious place.
Yeah.
She's coming from a mother bear protective place. I want my kid to be okay. And this is all I know.
Yeah.
And I'm terrified of him leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like when I hear that she's calling on his behalf, like That sounds a little scary to me.
Oh, you and I touch like very many times, like in the same places on the Siri. I think it just came from a different part of our brains. But wait, what was the last thing you were gonna say?
No, that was it. I mean, it just sounds like they're in an unhealthy cycle where she's allowed to manipulate him through guilt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
She obviously, with the career thing, I think it's important too, because I was like a parent's worst nightmare. I was a music producer for 6 years, and then I decided I was gonna make movies, and they're like, yeah, good fucking luck. Like, thank God it worked out.
Yeah.
But like, that's terrifying for parents. And it's not that they like the idea of their son being miserable in a shitty job. It's just they value security over that. Do you see what I'm saying? As long as they know their kid's gonna be safe. And if you do wanna aspire and you wanna have dreams, you don't need your parents' fucking permission. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go do that shit. Like, stop talking about it. Stop saying, I wanna, I'm gonna, I'm planning on. Do it. And then once you start making money, do it. No one can tell you shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he needs to step up and be a grown-ass man, though. For real.
I think that, honestly.
All respect. Seriously. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but, like, you can't let your mom be controlling, like, your life, your personal life, your career. Like,
right.
And I know it's a process, and I'm 38 years old. It's easy for me to sit here and speak so confidently about it. So I'm aware of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. That's... I think that's a good... Okay. Well,
yeah, so tell me yours, though.
It's not as complicated as yours.
Right.
I think that he's, like, the boyfriend's a loser. Again, that's why he's calling in. Like, he's, like, probably just, like, gets stoned every day. And, like, I'm guessing, like, he doesn't have a passion. Like, he doesn't have a dream to, like, pursue. This is one of the people that were meant to be just, like, normal people. Like, he just gets a fucking job, and he goes to it every day. And then, like, he gets a small promotion. Then maybe that's where he stops, and he just, like, gets a little salary going on, and he's supposed to just be normal. That's what I think. And I think that his mother sees that he's spending his time, like, fucking around and hanging out with this girl. And there's a lot of parents that believe, like, you know, you gotta, like, this is not the age to, like, worry about dating. Worry about dating, like, a little bit older. Like, you can, you know, obviously people are gonna date, but, like, your real concern needs to be, like, getting that job that's gonna be able to employ you for like 10 years. So that's the stock that they came from. And so I think that I believe that they probably do think that you are a distraction for your boyfriend right now. And like, that's why she's like coming in and saying like, you gotta find a career path. Like, it's because she pays for him probably.
See, that's the thing, is we don't know, because this is such a different conversation. If he is 19 and still living at home, then I tend to lean a little more towards where you're headed.
Yeah.
But just from the outside looking in, on a pure psychological level, it sounds like what's going on is mom's doing what all moms do.
Yeah.
It's not like we're, you know, we're talking about some revolutionary idea here.
Yeah, no.
Moms are terrified of losing their kids, especially their sons. And then, you know, the competition of a new girl.
Yeah.
That's taking away his time with his mom.
Yeah.
Like, what we really need to figure out is how fucking old this kid is. A new girl that is codependent and
calling a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, she's codependent. She's calling in with his problem because, like, she takes it on as her own.
Well, my best advice, I mean, for the girl, because she's calling, and then for the dude, I'll say, like, the only one way to say it, like, you got to man up and, like, fucking be a grown man about this. Like, can't let your mom dictate your life.
Yeah.
And you can love her, and you can tell her you respect her opinion, and you can listen. But you can't let it, like, your girlfriend shouldn't be calling in, like, advice shows about it, bro.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that you're in a place in your life where you actually could, like, care about people. Because I feel like he's depressed. I feel like he's, like, showing up but not showing up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, unless does he not – did she say if he knew that – yeah, she said calling on his behalf, right?
Yeah.
So.
She was calling for advice about this guy.
Yeah.
I mean – he does. Maybe he doesn't listen to the podcast. You know. Maybe
for
just
her,
someone.
Like, just. I mean, it's stock advice, but like, communicate all this stuff. It sounds like
break
you got
up with him.
It. Really?
Yeah, I break up with him.
All right.
I think she's young.
I don't. Yeah. This is for future. Everyone that calls, please say your age.
Yeah, and it makes it. It just.
Yeah,
you don't have to
it's
say
completely
like, your
different
location.
Conversations.
But name would be great because we love to address you personally and at least your age. Okay, you guys, thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't really.
I don't know if I was helpful.
I think she should dump him.
I'm gonna go. Ty goes to malls. Like, I think it's a common problem. I think this guy's got shit to work out. Like, if you don't want to deal with that learning curve and you don't want to like deal with the stress that comes along with that, and there's gonna be plenty of it, then fucking.
You'll find another boyfriend.
Yeah, keep it moving.
Yeah, you might be single for a while.
Find someone that has their own place and that, you know, all that.
Yeah, that's true. You can have fun. That's real. Okay. Next call.
I am starting my own company. It's a kind of merging high fashion curation with social good and sustainable goods from artisans around the world. So my problem is I'm excellent with the idea, with the creativity, with the design, with all of that. I'm excellent with networking. I am having a really hard time getting myself motivated and feeling like, despite everybody loving the idea and thinking it's great, actually getting my ass around to making things happen. I'm thinking the next step would be finding a partner. I'm not sure, but I think that you're a go-getter. I think that you have, you know, kind of created this presence for yourself and your own brand. I think it's awesome. I just have no idea how to, like, get my ass in gear and get my shit together for this. I have a day job. I'm a creative, but I really want this to work for a million reasons. And I just need to light a fire under my ass. And what do you do to motivate yourself? What kind of people do you have around for you? What kind of advice to kind of give you advice? What else can I ask? I guess that kind of covers it. If you have any advice for me, and by the way, I am pretty self-motivated, but also sometimes I just like laying in bed watching Netflix, eating pizza, and not doing shit. So help.
Hey. Well, you said a lot. Which is great. That's like shows like you're sort of passionate and you love communication. We're like a little confused on like what the fuck your job is. Like we're trying to figure it out. I said you probably like curate high fashion clothes. I'm lost because I'm like, oh, what is she starting, a Tom's type thing, or is she like?
Yeah, it's definitely it was a little confusing. What were the words? High fashion curation with social goods and sustainable goods. I mean, yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it's a whole bunch of exciting, like, you know, taglines, but I think the first advice is like maybe be able to articulate exactly what it is you're doing. That doesn't just like, and I'm not like, trying to be aside. There, I'm not being condescending, I swear. This sounds horrible, but like being able to kind of tell us exactly what it is you're doing and what the vision is, I think, especially if you are serious about pursuing this, being able to articulate that to people that are going to help you is the first step. And just kind of like laying out an area or a field, it's way too vague for anyone to give you any kind of like constructive criticism or advice.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
You can do it like casually as like a tagline, as like a bit, like, you know.
Well,
meaning by all those words basically mean that I put cool shit together and put it in your house.
Right.
Like, or whatever. Well, it means. Almost
with what we do, like with writing, like if it comes down to like a great log line.
Yeah.
Like, and for those who don't know, like when you're writing something or pitching something to a network or a studio, you ultimately have to boil down your idea to one sentence, normally like 25 words or less. You should be able to say like the entire idea in one sentence, and it takes fucking time. It's an art writing a good log line.
I think that your friends can write better log lines than you when it's your work, but like you can write great log lines for other people's shit. You know what I mean? Like
I love writing log lines.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, it's fun.
But not when it's my thing.
I love it when it's mine. But I whittle it. It's like being a sculptor.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes forever. But anyway, point being, like being able to kind of like very specifically say, like if you would have called and said, hey, we're doing a, you know, a philanthropic high fashion brand, and we're selling kind of like high end t-shirts for $85 to $125. We're planning on, you know, opening at least in one showroom in LA, one in New York. And you tell, and you gave me a plan, then it's like, oh, like, because very easily then you know what to tell people.
Right.
But ultimately it sounds like you're kind of at that phase, which, trust me, I don't know where you're at, but there's no shortage of people with fucking ideas. Everyone, their mom's got an idea. Everyone's going to do this and talking about, you know, planning on this again.
Yeah.
But like, if you really want to do something, like, fucking buckle down, put away 2 hours a night, work on your business plan, figure out what it is you want to accomplish before you talk to anyone about it.
Like, yeah, it's also like people take things like this, like, sometimes lightly, and it's the most important thing is like who you are going to like share your company with while it's just starting to emerge is everything.
Right.
Because you may like invite on someone who's like a great friend who like has a lot of like cool ideas when you're hanging out, but then like in a workplace, like they actually drive you nuts or like if they're not like comfortable, like you don't feel safe with things in their hands or whatever.
Right.
I think adding people can actually just be more work sometimes.
Well, another thing is you have to look at it from the potential partner's perspective. Like you've got someone coming to them with kind of a very, and forgive us if it's not, you may have already done all this work, but you didn't let us know that. But, you know, if I'm someone who's in that same business and I'm talking about partnering up with her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I'm like super stoked on someone that's coming to me and saying, oh, I have all this ideas, but I need someone to do the hard work.
Right.
And that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, you're right.
Respectfully.
It was all in that last sentence where like she was kind of explaining that she loves to work and she's proud of her career, but she also likes to watch Netflix and eat pizza.
I mean, that's where she brought me back with that part, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part where I was like, all right, I kind of feel you, girl.
Yeah, I no, I
like,
totally
at first
feel
I
that.
Was like, oh, she just kind of sounds like everyone else I'm, you know, exposed to in LA, who's got some big idea and but is waiting for someone to, like, everyone's waiting for that like magic rainbow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fucking exist, people.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go hunt your food.
Yeah.
If you want it, you know.
That's real. Like, and also it's not difficult to like communicate things to other people when you do it frequently and like you know what you're saying, you're concise, like the easiest time to do that now.
Well, yeah. And knowing, like, figure out exactly what it is you want to do. Like, within that world, that's cool if you want to exist in that world. But, like, being able to tell someone, like, I'm, you know, I want to open a gallery and this is what we're going to focus on. Or, like, some type of tangible, like, business that's associated with it. So you can make that Skrilla.
And by the way, this is, like, the easiest part to deal with in a way, because like right now you're creating a vision alone, but you're gonna have to bring people on at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Like, if you get very serious about it, you figured it out.
You're gonna hire people that are better than you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the trick too, girl. Like the reason Steven Spielberg is Steven Spielberg is because Steven Spielberg has the best taste in hiring crew and producers and all the people, his support system. He picks the very best people and they make him look fucking great. He's obviously, you know, work speaks for itself, but a lot of people go into making those movies.
Yeah.
And he hires the fucking best.
Yeah.
You know? And you see that with CEOs all over the country. Like, they hire people that are fucking awesome.
Oh, no, that's everything. I believe in that. That, like, all bosses are kind of dumb. Unless you have that rare exceptional boss. Like, you are always brought on to work harder and to, like, have more expertise in that area.
Yeah. But good luck.
Yeah, good luck, girl.
Yeah, if you really want to do it, then, like, there's no time for calling into malls. Like, get to work.
Yeah, I think that you need to come from a place of, like, exciting yourself about, I mean, you sound, like, not excited by it to the point where, like, you're spending days that could be spent working, like, just, and I have, like, procrastination problems at times, too, but it's a big, what you're talking about, even though I don't know what it is, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about starting a business, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And,
I wouldn't imagine she's in a place to be hiring anyone. I think that she wants someone who can grow out the company.
I get it.
But, yeah. Like, the right people aren't going to be it's not going to appeal to the right people that she's
not right
for.
Now. But if you put a business right. plan together, like, don't half step on yourself. Like, if you are really good, like you say you are, fucking put in the work. Spend the next 2 months putting together a solid business plan. Figure out how much money you need for the first 2 years. Go and raise the fucking money. It's not brain surgery.
Yeah.
There's tons of money out there for good ideas. If you really do have dope shit, there's someone to write a check for you. You just got to put it. You can't, like, you're not just going to show up to the table and eat, though. You got to get out there and hunt the food. You got to fix the food. You got to do all the work.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. I'm rooting for you.
I know. I'm
because I like pizza.
I'm looking forward to an update Real on talk. This one. Yeah, no, pizza's yeah, so like good.
You got me with pizza.
I had deep dish last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
I feel that.
And I watched Love Guru.
That's an aggressive night.
Yeah, we really like my Derek thinks that there's something really funny about like how bad their Love Guru is, and like I'm gonna tell you, like I wasn't in a normal state at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had been with shoes for a little while.
Yeah.
We sat down and watched 2 hours straight, just like mouth agape, like it was like being hit. I think I just talked about this with Lauren, but it was like being hit by like. Baseballs every 5 minutes or like every 2 minutes, like big jokes, but they were bad. And I think it was meant to be like, I think it was in that
it's
time.
Kind of cheeky, right? It's supposed to be like,
yes,
a little bit. I or think no, that, no, or not at all.
I don't think that this is a statement on like culture necessarily. And right. I think that he used a lot of like classics. That were like he pulled a lot of classics out of his ass, and I think it's maybe the joke there is like that he's normal and he's picked up all these things through like living life, but like he uses like famous punchlines from other movies a lot, and like he's doing a lot of like bro stuff in there too. So like that to me says like it was probably around the time that like old school was a big deal right. or something it like that.
To a degree, a period piece.
It's deeply offensive. Like, I was like, oh, my God, why would he... Who would think this is okay?
I caught bits and pieces on cable, and I found the makeup to be a little distracting. It's hard to watch Mike Myers look like that.
Yeah, that's right. The makeup was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Yeah, call us with your updates, you guys. We love them. This is definitely a call I need an update on.
Yeah, for sure.
If you've fallen and committed to your depression even more, or if you've started something.
Yeah, hopefully we're like reading about you and like fucking Us Weekly and shit. Do your thing.
Yeah. Do your thing, horticulture girl. Call back 323-450-7408, and we want to know how things went for you. You can also email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Next call.
Hey, Malls. My name is Justin. I found out about you through Hello, Hello. This is Tall Tales with Jason Stewart. I'm a big fan of both shows. I think it's fucking awesome that you're doing this. But anyway, I am a business owner. I just graduated from San Francisco State University, blah, 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 through that boring shit. I think that I'm undateable, you know, like, I go through these dates and it goes well. Girls tell me I want to jump your bones, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool, you know, these bones are ready for a jump in. And, you know, we'll go on a first date. I'll have my reservations. They'll have their reservations. Blah, blah, blah. And after that, it'll kind of just die down and fizzle. And I don't know if it's me not, you know, following up very well. I don't know if it's them being turned off by something that I did or have said. But I don't know. You know, one example is I took this girl out who is a few years older than me. And she apparently has been having a crush on me for a while, and that's cool because I know that I somewhat have a advantage just because I know that, all right, this girl already likes me. There's no need to be nervous. So I take her out on a date. It goes well. By the end of the date, you know, I tell her, hey, you know, picture me a couple months ago. I would try and take you to the bar. I would try to get you liquored up, and I would try to sleep with you. But I'm honest, and I tell her I want to just walk you home. She doesn't live too far from where we have dinner, so I walk her home on some, like, high school holding hands shit, holding fingers through each other's fingers. I mean, does that mean anything anymore in 2014? I don't know. But, yeah, you know, and after that first date, you know, she has a little birthday house party. I go to that, and it's pretty chill. I know that she has friends and she has guests to cater to, so I'm not going to follow her around like a little, you know, ball and chain. But I'm going to, you know, talk to her when she comes around, you know. And when I do talk to her, I talk to her. When I need to show interest, I show interest. And, you know, after that night, that's it. And ever since then, communication has dropped off super significantly. And I don't know if I maybe showed, you know, too much interest, like I came too aggressive or whatever. But, I mean, this is an isolated, super unique incident. But, you know, I think in all my history with dating has been like super short term, super premature, and I just want to know, am I undateable?
Okay, dude, like I want to be your friend for like 10 years and then we get in like a weird fight, like you come over in a weird mood and fight with me, and then like I like lose the friendship, but like you were fun for 10 years. Like I really want to be friends with you. Don't you know, like, how he, because he's that like, she's like, jump my bones. I want, like, I want my bones jumped. And, like, so, like, then, like, bro, like, I'm just, like, in love with you.
Yeah,
like,
it was a pretty dope call. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Very sensitive, I think.
Yeah,
too.
You're thinking too much, man. Like, yeah. Look, like, they're all not going to be, like, home runs, man. If it ain't there, it ain't there. Keep it moving.
I think, yeah, he's stuck in his head a little
you
bit.
Know, like,
why don't you get on like Tinder or something and just start going on?
I don't know that I'm co-signing on that one, but
no, I don't believe in it either. But it seems like he's like a little.
I mean, Tinder
he has a little growing to do.
Tinder terrifies me, but like no, for me. But if like people are in that space, and I respect if people are in that space, where they're just trying to like bang.
Yeah,
like there's a place to do that now. It's called Tinder.
That's what Tinder is.
It's yeah, like and grinder. So. And, like, I, like, even on a friendship level, I only work on, like, a reference-only basis. I have to know someone that knows you
yeah.
that I can blame if you turn out to be crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in order for me to kind of let my guard down, you're, like, one of the exceptions to the rule, actually. But it was because I had, like, you know, 4 months of seeing you make videos
yeah.
that I felt comfortable with you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then we did have people in common eventually.
Should he start a YouTube channel?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, some sort of outlet.
Absolutely. You could be like venting all this stuff. And it honestly, it was really entertaining when I was listening. I kept smiling at Malls going
yeah.
like, oh my
yeah,
God.
It was great.
Oh, P.S. I went to San Francisco State too. Fuck yeah.
yeah.
What's up? I did not graduate though, so oh. you got one up on me, dude.
That's okay.
But
that
was the coolest school ever. If the professor Ricky Vincent still works there, he is the fucking man.
Yeah, you love him.
The
Do you
best.
Still not like write him postcards or something?
No, that was my philosophy teacher.
Yeah,
Dennis
you
Hickey.
Should reach out.
Dennis Hickey.
Be like, I think about you all
Dennis
the time.
Dennis Hickey was
still,
the man. He was a
life.
Critical thinking teacher that was yeah. like, looked like. Little wise man, he was fantastic. No, but dude, yeah, you're overthinking this shit. Like,
you know what I think?
You didn't
too?
Do anything
I don't
wrong.
Know if he exercises. He sounds like he probably is fit and cares about his body, but like, I think that there's you have too much excess energy, like that you are spreading out into like the drama,
driving yourself
your
crazy,
life.
And
yeah.
also like the whole like, am good. I undateable? How are you gonna like let one girl or one situation, even if it's a series of situations, like dude, like own who you are. If you're a shithead, then maybe you are undateable, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like
no,
you have like a cool sense
he's
of humor
not
yeah like fucking like dude like own your shit like
yeah
if you're a dope guy, be a dope guy, and if
yeah.
and dope a dope girl will come along and recognize that, and if she don't, that's on her.
Yeah,
keep it moving.
Yeah, dating's all about rejection, hon. That's a big truth. Is that like dating is kind of a like you it's called dating because it's like not serious. Like you go out with a lot of fucking people.
Yeah. And maybe also another thing too, like when there's this thing that happens, especially with dudes, it happens with girls too, to be honest. But
yeah,
when people want a mate so bad, they just like reek of like thirst. And
I feel that
for real, like there's nothing more unattractive than like a thirsty member of the opposite sex or yeah. same sex, however you swing. But like there, it's super like off-putting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but if you are, like that's probably 60-70% of the dudes I know that like talk to me about their dude problems.
Yeah.
It's because they're too thirsty. Like fucking.
Yeah.
Everyone has those urges. Like it's the part of being
an
adult.
He's inexperienced.
Like,
he doesn't realize.
Well,
oh,
you know, you just got to like control your impulse. Because the impulse is like, oh yeah, I should text her. Oh, what is she doing? Like, dude, go for a jog.
Yeah.
Like fucking get a hobby.
Right. Like,
go hang with your boys. Buy some new Jordans. Do something productive with your life. Like,
I think
don't
girls
sit around
definitely
like thinking
do
about
this.
Like
I
a
did
chick.
That for many years.
You know, and it's different if this is something you've been seeing for 3 months and you're deeply in love with. Then you have the right to have like those emotions. You know what I mean? But like, chick that you went out with a couple times and like it almost sounds like you're like doing the passive aggressive butt hurt. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because you're not coming across as like a bitch. So it's not like you're being bitchy about it, but there is like a tinge of butthurt to it where it's like, oh, she might not like me the way I like her. And the truth is, dude, like from what you've told us, it doesn't sound like you fucking even know her. So it's not like there's some big loss. You know what I mean? This was a chick that maybe you had a moment with.
Yeah.
And it could have been cool and maybe something could happen, but if it's not there, dude. Don't like start rearranging your whole thought process about your self-worth.
Right. Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You sound like a cool guy. Like fucking.
He does. I
own
love
up to it.
I
want to
be
cool.
I told you I want to be your friend for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like you sound great.
Yeah, dude. There's trust me. There's a lot of women looking for cool guys. So just
true.
Be you. Don't worry about like, forget the whole, am I undateable? Self-pity bullshit. That's not attractive. Don't be thirsty. Like fucking. Go eat on your own and like be confident and be yourself and the right person will show up. And if they don't, then figure your shit out.
Word. That's Wagon Stuff freaking out over a tennis ball. And he's like being Pete Sampras right now. And he just wants that tennis ball to chew on delicately. Pete Sampras played
tennis.
Tennis.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
yes.
good. Good.
Yes.
So it all
killing
worked
the sports references today, Mom.
Yeah. That's what I love to do.
Avi.
So, yeah, we were going to do a letter. I thought that it would be nice if Eric read the letter out loud in his soothing, calm voice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to meditate on it while he reads. And then we're going to talk to you about your problem.
All right.
So here we go.
So here's the letter as written. Hey, Malls. I've heard you say you're quick to cum someone off. That's what it says. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think they meant cut. I heard you say you're quick to cut someone off, and I'm the same way. I'm just wondering wondering your perspective on this situation I have. Last December, my best friend and I were on the train back to Brooklyn. BK, what's up? When she got an email saying her boyfriend had tried to sleep with her roommate while she was in the other room sleeping the night before. Drums. Her roommate was moving out and it was her last night there, so my friend's boyfriend thought he could get away with it, but it backfired because her roommate told him just to get the fuck out. Obviously, my friend was devastated and hysterical. In hyphens, very awkward and dramatic. On the train. Then a few days later, like an abused 50s housewife, sick writing by the way, good stuff. Like an abused 50s housewife, she completely forgave him and never even took a break to think about it. I was like, are you sure? He's a loser. He's in his mid-30s, a bartender with a kid, and should beyond know better than to behave this way. She said I was a terrible friend because I was... Wait. She said I was a terrible friend because I said, if you want to stay with him, fine, but I will not hang out with them. There's a little... some typos there, but she's basically saying her friend was hating on her because she's like, I don't want to fuck with your boyfriend. Like, don't bring him around.
Yeah.
Then we just didn't speak for a few months, and I reached out to her over email because my mom kept saying we should work it out. She had also given him her phone and showed him all the texts of me saying he was a loser and why you wouldn't want to be with someone who treated you this way, which to me was kind of a betrayal. I'm her friend, not his. Since then, we've hung out probably 2 times, and I just don't think I can ever look at her the same way. I felt like she wanted to take her hurt and anger from what he did out on me. I felt like I was defending her. I've never had a friendship end abruptly like a breakup, and it's a mindfuck. Am I being dramatic? I don't know. I would love your insight. I just think what he did was so creepy. To come into someone's room uninvited and do that, he just makes my stomach turn.
Wow, man.
That was some deep shit.
That was some deep shit. But I think it really boils down to, like, you either need to, like, not get into other people's drama. Like, she's too involved.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, just to get the drama out of your life, like, if you can't handle it, you're not, like, managing your anger or whatever, then you have to, you'll just be judgmental of her and always harbor that, like, feeling that she's kind of, like, a hoe.
Well, it's also that's like, it's a timeless thing. It goes all the way back to the beginning of like civilization. Like anytime there's nothing ever good comes for the friend.
Yeah.
When the friend decides to like take a stance on a domestic situation and pick a side. Like the moment.
It does sound like a gross domestic situation though. Like,
no,
she's
no, it does.
Totally gross.
No, it's horrible. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like ridiculously unforgivable. And I can understand why it would just make you like mad, not mad like as in angry, but mad as in like crazy that your friend would be so like short sighted to want to stay with someone that's capable of even not just thinking it, but actually acting on it. Like, it's just disgusting. You know, and it's not our place to judge the guy. God bless him. He's obviously got some shit to work out. That's on him, though.
Well, but like, he broke the terms of their agreement.
100%. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Breach of contract.
Mm-hmm.
Call the lawyers. No, but yeah, I mean, super disgusting. But yeah, like, stay out of that shit. Like, let that be a lesson in the future. Like, and shit like that comes up, just stay out of it. Like, they're going to figure it out one way or another, and they're going to have deal with that however they deal with it one way or another. It's not for you to dictate how they deal with it and to, like, you know, start putting terms on your guys' friendship because of her choice in partners.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the easiest way to push someone away.
It also just feels like, though, in a real way, like, why does she have to be friends with this girl?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, why do you want to hang out with someone that would stay with someone like that anyway?
Yeah, you're, like, basically what you're doing is you're just, like, do I keep this drama, this massive distracting drama in my life, or do I just move on from it? And I know that sometimes when there's, like a friend breakup or something, a lot of times it's been, like, festering. You know,
yeah.
And then you have this judgment against a person, and you're going to harbor that judgment for as long as, like, you have to.
Yeah, and it's that old saying, like, it's like swallowing poison, expecting someone else to die from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's when you hold on to resentment like that. I would say just, like, cut it. Like, it's cool that you guys are on terms to where you can be in the same, like, geographical space and being, like, polite with one another, but, like, are you really that hard up for friends that you're going to try to piece this back together? Because it sounds like it's shattered to me. Like,
yeah, there's no coming back.
Yeah, there's no coming back. Like, you're never going to respect him. You're not going to respect her for being with him.
There is a version where they could, like, she could, like, detach her feelings about this incident and just hang out with her friend. But she,
totally.
Like, sounds like she doesn't have.
Yeah, if she's capable of that,
yeah.
For sure. But it's also, like, why do you want to invest energy into people, like, that aren't healthy for you?
Do something cool for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, start embroidering.
We should hook her up with the last caller.
Oh, my God.
Caller.
That would be so good. You guys, email
us. Can we do
us
a little matchmaking going on? Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
because
no, I
he
think
sounded
that,
like
that
a nice
he
guy.
He seems like a really nice guy, but I think this girl would terrorize him. She's seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he seemed like a, I don't know. I think we might have a match. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so if you guys kind of feel like attracted to each other, you can email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We can set that up to the best of our ability.
Because he's looking for, and he doesn't seem like the type of girl or the type of guy that would do that.
I think he's in California, and sounds like she lives in New York.
Oh, okay. Ooh. So very,
just got,
like,
way more romantic.
Yeah, I know.
It just got way more romantic. I'm seeing
Empire State
Building.
You guys have to meet at the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Wags. Sorry,
Wags. And you guys are probably going to have to do like some mutual masturbation on Skype for like, you know.
Probably.
Via Skype.
Probably, yeah.
There will be that moment. And then
Carpal tunnel shit, dude.
Yeah. So you have to meet up.
Okay, so did we answer that in full?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, cool. Next call.
Good luck.
Hey, Malls. My name's Nina. I'm calling from Chicago. Love your pod. It's fabulous. Listen to it when I run, and I laugh in the middle of running, so thanks for that. I was calling because my boyfriend and I broke up in June after, like, almost 5.5 years together, and it sucks, but it's all right. I left him, and it's cool. I mean, whatever. Anyways, I was wondering when, like, ever I start dating again, what you think would be some good questions to ask on a first or second date, and what might be things you would avoid asking or avoid talking about. I just thought I would ask and see. And please advise. Thank you. Bye.
I think she seems very impulsive.
I think she's clearly still like in the
prior relationship.
Yeah, trying to like keep her head above water in the wake
of
the last relationship. It sounds like that even when she's talking about it. It's and that's another thing too. It's like dude, it's fine to be it's fine to not be okay for a little while after you got out of something for 7.5 years, like you don't feel, because it'll ultimately, I think, work against you. You see people do this all the time where mostly with like with loss and any time.
Yeah.
But like with death, you see it a lot where people just don't deal with it at all. And they just try to like stay strong and keep moving. And then they end up having like a nervous breakdown like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Because they've like stashed all that grief. Like that's just what fucking let it out and deal with it. And if you're not okay for a while, be not okay. Like don't be worrying so much about like going out on first dates. And I mean, that's fun to think about, but like not when you're still kind of like, you know, missing that person. Even if you did leave, like obviously you love the dude, you were with him for 7.5 years. But yeah, it's cool to not be okay. But as far as like to directly answer your question, what are some good first date questions? Fuck.
And it seems like she wants to date a lot. So I'm going to guess that like she needs to come in as much as she can to every one of these dates, like very confident and like this doesn't mean any, like this could go great and it would mean like the same amount as if this was terrible. Right. Like it's just another experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as like questions though, like I'm always, and so I guess for some people it's bad advice, but like if you just yourself and if you're genuinely interested in the person, then you'll know what to ask. You're not going to be sitting there like worried about like having stock questions.
Yeah.
And so the trick becomes like hanging out with people that are interesting.
Yeah.
And so not just like, you know, getting on Tinder or getting on any of the, you know, whatever the websites are and, you know, just picking randos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, curate your shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially it sounds like you're someone that like is down for the long haul. She's done a 7-year relationship.
Yeah.
You're like, there must be something of value with you that allowed, you know, a man want to be with you for 7 years, even if you ended up ending it. Like, so you're probably a catch. So like, don't settle. Like, you know, we're not saying you are because you're just talking about dating, but like, you know, be picky as fuck. And if you are picky as fuck, one of the byproducts of that is that you're not going to be worried about what questions are for the first date.
Yeah. What's good too about the morning thing is that you said earlier, was like, I just think this will put her in a better place altogether to date in the future, because once she has nothing left, but like, well, I gotta
get back out there.
I gotta get back out there and like just start going and being like, relationships aren't important to me. Like, you can say that to yourself every day. And then like, it'll just like, it'll happen. Like, the universe always rewards people who like felt their feelings, you know?
For sure. Another thing too, I think like, because I had a friend who got out of something, a pretty long relationship, got out of, and like just found the whole dating thing so awkward that it gave her like full on like social anxiety, like intense anxiety. And what she started to do is she would just like go and hang out with groups of friends. Yeah. And then like one day, like she, one of the friends that showed up was like a dude she found to be hot and was cool. And they decided they wanted to hang out. Like yeah. that's so much easier than like the whole dating thing is like, it's brutal. Like, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause it's basically you're in, not just subjecting it to, but like, especially because like people pay for themselves nowadays. Like people will do the split thing. Or if you're the guy, you're paying for the fucking torture of going into an interview.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Those and first dates, they're fucking interviews. So like.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I mean,
it
I
is.
I don't do it.
I don't know about splitting on a date though. I feel like they're.
I feel like the guy should pay.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I also don't want to like take liberties with and hurt feelings of anyone out there or think like I'm sexist because like a woman can't
no,
pay for her
No, I think that like, when a guy really likes a girl, he gets his car washed on the same 100%, day as the date. 100%. Like he like
it's paying for
date,
everything, not
picks
just
you
dinner,
up
yeah.
if you're comfortable with that. And like, I think that that's like, that's when you know, oh, this is like a real person.
Right.
Because you're mostly, people are like these things, these negative things about relationships that everyone complains about, like everyone also allows for. And
well, I mean, the standard has been dropped so significantly.
Oh, they're like yeah,
if you
and
think
I just,
about
like, texted
like,
him and
yeah,
like
what Tinder has allowed like dating to become is yeah. like lowest common denominator. And no offense to anyone out there, use it. God bless you. Like get your bang on. I'm not mad at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally all for like whatever you're doing. But like it definitely lowers like the standard on how people kind of interact with one another.
Yeah.
Because, and this sounds bad, but like people used to keep their like bullshit and their rudeness in check because they don't have any other options. But then suddenly it's like you've got someone that in the back of their head is like, well, I can just go on Tinder and get laid tonight. Then they're probably more apt, both men and women, to treat other people like assholes.
Yeah.
Because there's that other thing. And like, you know, so it's definitely shifted the paradigm.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Wow, man.
Deep shit.
Yeah, wow. I mean, look, like, and also, I also feel like she would probably start out being like really like well-mannered and like keeping shit to herself that is her own business.
Right.
But like guys are super unattracted to girls that like talk about their like exes regularly, and because one like
no,
you're trying
I don't
to like
hear about an ex
yeah
I don't talk about my exes. I don't want to hear about exes. We
yeah
we don't play ex games.
Yeah, no, I don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. And like
leave that shit to Travis Pastrana.
I think people think that we've somehow gotten past, like that's one of the things that we've gotten past is like, oh, so like I was dating this guy that was like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But and so people say it anyway and they like don't realize that they're like ruining.
They're basically like littering on this new thing that you're building.
Yeah.
So like for me, it's not like an insecurity thing or jealousy thing. I'm not a jealous guy at all.
Yeah.
Like it's just like we both have our past. If we're dealing with one another, let our past be our past, because nothing good ever yeah. comes from like digging up the past. Unless
right.
you have funny stories and shit like that, but like me telling you about, you know, if we drive by Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm like, oh, my ex and I, like, that's not gonna make anyone feel good.
No, never.
Or if you're like, my ex used to always do this, like I don't know how anyone could tolerate that shit.
Yeah, that drives.
I think
me
it's
nuts.
Just a good kind of like
find something
like
mentally
rule.
To go in place of that when you
yeah.
when you're something is
talk
even
about your dog.
Yeah.
Like every time you want to say my ex, it's been yeah. my dog.
Yeah.
Like
that's
and
real.
Train yourself that way. You got to like reprogram your behavioral patterns.
That's real.
That is real. Upgrade your operating systems, people. Everyone's working on like the first Mac.
Yeah.
Like fucking OS. Mm-hmm. Like we live in the first generation of we can upgrade our operating systems, and that equates to like rewiring your behavioral programming
yeah.
so that you don't act like an asshole because like your parents didn't give you the love you needed. Like we're all responsible for our own fucking emotional states and our mental states. Own up, upgrade your shit, and then everyone, it'll be so much fucking easier.
If everyone
it's
could
so
just,
much
like,
more
not
fun.
Learn
like,
the hard
yeah,
way.
Just evolve. Like, we
yeah.
we can upgrade. So, upgrade your shit.
That's real.
Word. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this was a good one. Eric, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Are you kidding? Thanks for having me.
How can people find you on social or like read about your upcoming projects?
Twitter, Adamadio, AMADIO. I finally got on Instagram, as you've been seeing
that.
Me, like, yeah, torment the space of Instagram with like really inappropriate behavior.
I like those like kinds of accounts more. Like, people are like, you know, anyone who's grossed out by that, you can't be my friend.
Yeah, I really don't take like, I don't share a lot of my private life. Yeah. I don't take pictures of me. I just find funny shit and then write sarcastic shit to compliment it.
God bless.
That's what's my Instagram? Eric Amadio.
Yeah. I remember being like, whoa, he got a good one.
Yeah.
Like, no one took Eric Amadio.
No, you know what happened is when it first started, I got myself in a habit right after MySpace. Once any new social network opened up, I would just go to it and reserve my names.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I got Amadio on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like I on Instagram, I forgot what my Tumblr is, but whatever. Yeah. But that's how people can find me.
Damn, dude. Like, that's... killing it.
Killing it. I got an Instagram account and a Twitter account.
So many fucking
shit.
Contacts.
I'm like crushing life right now. I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but we are bawling out of control over here.
We have social media pod. You can call 323-450-7408 and leave us your updates or some new questions. We're dying to hear back from people. If you've called before and you have a new question, feel free, like Tina, to just call in every week. We love that. Shout out to Tina the Diva. Happy holidays. I know you love Halloween, and I feel that I know you're going to pick bomb me. Like, on Halloween, I'm already braced for it. There's going to be like so many Instagram links in my life. I love it. You can email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Send us, if you're gay, send us your pictures of your dick or some dick pics that you've gotten that are from real people. And you can like kind of tell me something about like your sex life, and then I'll talk about like what I think his intentions are based on the dick that I'm seeing. I can read your angel cards. Oh, you can follow us on Twitter @pleaseadvise_advise. And SoundCloud, we are hosted and we are part of the Loudspeakers Network. Very exciting, very exciting. SoundCloud.com/pleaseadvise. And on Instagram, we are also Please Advise. It's PLZ. This was probably like one of my fave apps. No offense to all our other listeners out there.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely my favorite because I got to be here.
Yeah.
But I've listened to a handful of them. They're all really funny. Like,
thank you.
You're just fun to listen to, and your guests have always been great. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can like leave a positive comment on one of the channels or retweet us or like,
I'll do it.
And so we'll send you, you're an eligible person for that 129. Do you know what that is?
No.
I send like my readers, a song that costs $1.29.
Oh, if really?
Like I one from each episode.
That's nice.
Yeah. And,
because Mama's really, got it like
not
that.
Like not like 99 cent ones. That's not like, that's
no,
not cheap.
I feel you. You're We're doing like, that upper echelon shit.
Yeah.
I feel that.
And Chrissy the Front Turn will help sort that stuff out for you if I haven't done it for you yet. From this episode, who's your favorite caller? Mm. We have one more, but. All right.
Who was my favorite?
Oh, that big oaf I'm going to be friends with.
Probably the dude.
Yeah. I really like that he called in, straight guy, gave us like some personality. There's definitely not a personality.
Yeah, he didn't
there.
Like tailor himself for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can always tell when people are on like their Sunday best.
Yeah.
He was just like, yo, this is me. Like, and it just sounded like a dude like need a pat on the back or like a wink from a cute girl just
couple
to kind of like
ago,
get his confidence back
liquored up. Liquored you up and fucked you, but like
that
now
was aggressive.
Then.
Yeah, but we appreciated the honesty.
I love that from you. So yeah, we're gonna send you a song this week. I've picked you. You're chosen. I feel really good about that. I feel like you need a song right now.
Yeah.
He needs.
He's
a song.
The guy.
You can pick it out.
Yeah. What song?
Well, you know all the music stuff.
Can I think on it?
Yeah, email.
Does it have to be spontaneous?
Yeah, no, it doesn't have
like
to be
I'd like to really get him the right song.
Okay, good. No, I love that. You would actually
you know, like,
really do that.
Yeah.
You feel his vibes. I'm feeling like a De La Soul feel.
I feel like I feel like it needs to be like so fresh and so clean, or like something that like makes you like feel good about yourself, like a song like that. You know what I mean? Like something that like brings out some swag in the dude.
I feel like Tribe Called Quest definitely has some swaggy shit. I'm
just completely, yeah, all aboard Tribe.
Yeah,
not all day, every day.
All right, you guys, thanks so much for listening to episode 20. Keep being real with us. You guys like are everything to me, and I'm going through a lot right now. Please respect my privacy. I'm kidding. I don't care about anything. All right, see you next week.
Peace.